American media is a business, and it has a mission, not to inform Americans, but to entertain them.
You know, it's happy news for happy people with happy problems.
And the business leaders said that they had to renew with vigor what they called the everlasting battle for the minds of men and indoctrinate citizens with a capitalist story.
Global corporations feeding us the news as they see fit.
Truth is subversive. It's anti-American.
Americans have computers in school, dozens of TV stations, and the most aggressive news media on Earth. Does that mean they're better informed? Hardly.
And now, for Newsreel, here's Sean Kennedy.
And it's another great day. This is Sean Kennedy reporting to you from the internet for Tuesday, May 3rd, 2005. This would be Newsreel, your source for independent media and news from the ongoing rebellion against core political tyranny, and truth source for those on the bleeding edge. We are winning this war, don't you think we're not? You can read all the news stories along with me by going to my live journal, and at my live journal, you'll be able to read up on all the news stories to make sure that I'm not, in fact, lying to you like almost every other media source on the planet is. You know, it'll be time to turn the page when you hear me say something like, I don't think I'm going to say the thing about turning the page anymore. This is a free radio broadcast that can be heard on Rant Radio, 76 Radio, Wild Bunch Radio, WNY Media Network, KJAG Radio, Radio306.com, and Osprey Radio. And that's just awesome. We've been syndicated so much. I'm really enjoying that, and we got more syndication coming. And if you know of radio stations that you listen to other than Rant Media, I don't know who they'd be, but we've got to get everybody on board. We got to get everybody on the same side. We got to get a little bit of internet unity going on here. And when we can have that happening, hey, why not? And I think the show might just be good enough that people from all walks of life might be able to enjoy it, because why not? It's free, and you are free to distribute this broadcast any way you see fit. You could burn it to disc. You could make dance mixes out of it. You could leave it in a library book. You could burn discs individually so you don't have to lose the case. Go down to Chapters, to the computer security section, and start sticking CDs and books at your local major mega bookstore. That's a heck of a way to get information out there. Mind you, if you put them in the computer security books, chances are, unless the guy's really dumb, he's probably not going to run the disk in his computer. But, you know, hey, it's a thought of a way to spread it. Got a bit of news here from Sumerian, the station manager, God on high, Lord Almighty of all things Rant. It says here, Sean, I love the way he sends me these emails. Sean, put this on the news for Monday's show. Thank you, Sim. I will now avert my eyes. Patrolling with Sean Kennedy. You know, everyone knows Patrolling. Patrolling with Sean Kennedy, my wonderful little series. Well, one of them anyway. Is now on Berkeley TV, Channel 28 in Berkeley's California. How crazy is that? I cannot believe that I am going to be on Berkeley TV. That's kind of really cool. Airing from May until September, at the following days and times, Patrolling with Sean Kennedy will be Tuesday at 9:30 p.m., Thursday at 4 p.m., Sunday at 9 a.m. Sean Kennedy Rants, second and fourth week, Monday at 10 a.m., Thursday at 8 p.m., and Sunday at 10 a.m. So very, very cool. And that was from Sim. So it looks like we're getting televised down at Berkeley. Hey, that's hot. Because, you know, so many nice things came out of Berkeley. Really? I mean, come on. You gotta love Berkeley. Let's get straight into some feedback right off the top. I got a bunch of it here. Dear Sean, I'm not surprised that someone is actually altering themselves into a tiger appearance. Now, this is a follow-up on that show where I did a guy. There's a guy in England who's a software engineer. He's got £200,000 into spending into cosmetic surgery to turn himself into a tiger. And he's getting the fur graft. Now, I said at that time, well, if you got the money, who gives a shit? You know, it's your body. Do what you want. And the letter goes on to say, tigers are awesome creatures. But there are hunters out there. Unlikely this guy will ever cross paths with a hunter in the wild, but what if? Can this guy be charged with crimes for scaring someone? Remember the high school kid in the gorilla mask that got kicked out of school just for wearing a mask? This cat man can't even take his costume off, so does he get to abide outside of the laws that are established for equality? Interesting question. What if someone passes him on the street and freaks out and hits this guy with an umbrella before realizing it's a human being? What if the guy wants to go on a nature hike? Seriously, I can't help but wonder, what if someone that augments themselves so far in appearance that they truly look non-human, read spiders, that if they are injured or killed, if the person would have been held responsible for the injury or death is therefore not responsible because it is a normal human reaction, and arguably a right human reaction, to lash out in self-defense. I agree with you that people have the rights and freedom to appear how they choose, but how far can someone go? If you show up in a court augmented enough to offend the judge, you could be held in contempt of court. What if this guy ever gets a traffic ticket and goes to court to fight the ticket? Think about it. You could do a whole series of shows on this topic alone and keep everyone thoroughly engrossed, I might add. Best regards, Falware. Now, he's got a very good point. Unfortunately, the problem here is not with the guy who's turning into the tiger. And I'm sure he'll even say that. I mean, he's not saying the guy doesn't have the right to turn himself into a tiger. What he's saying is, it will be awkward. Now, in my stories, I've got a race of beings known as spiders. And spiders are they're actually not a race, but they're humans who've augmented themselves so far gone that they're no longer considered human. They use an imaginary thing I've created called planamel, where they extend their bones up to 50%, therefore giving them a very tall, very thin, kind of augmented, almost insect-like look. And these creatures, you know, they dye their skin permanently black and so on and so forth. And it's like sort of like the evolution of the goth gang turns into the spider. It's kind of cool, very neat. Now, the thing is, though, is that because the guy turned himself into a tiger, and right now the story, he was going for a skin graft, to skin graft fur onto his body. Now, I think the dude may have some mental issues, okay? Because I cannot for the life of me understand doing that much body mod. I get chickened out with tattoos. Never mind anything else. I've almost gotten a tattoo like 6 times. Never mind permanent body modification. And furthermore, how is this going to look when he's older? I mean, you always think about that with tattoos. How's it going to look when you're older? But, I mean, with permanent body mods, nevertheless, it is his right to augment himself if he's got the cash, if he sees fit, I guess. Worst case scenario, he kills himself. But, you know, I guess it's his call. Every time he goes in for plastic surgery, he's rolling dice. There's a chance every time they put you under, you may not wake back up. Happens to a lot of people. Not to freak you out if you're going for surgery, but it's true. So there it is. That's what some people are thinking. Next feedback. Hello, SK. This isn't any kind of useful link or story for Newsrail, but it just might be of some interest to you. I'm a truck driver, as I see a fair chunk of the U.S. highways. Well, for the past month or so, I've seen a lot, and I mean a lot of military vehicles being moved around. On average, I've seen at least 3 flatbed trailers, each with 3 Humvees on them, and an occasional piece of armor. But today, as I was driving westbound on Interstate 40, I passed about 20 flatbeds, each with a couple of Humvees on them, all heading east. Now, I realize the military needs to shuffle around hardware when it is needed, especially now that there's a war on. But damn, there's a lot of steel being passed around. Are our losses in terms of equipment that great, or is something else going on we don't know about? I try not to be one of the fearmongers, but this might be something to look for. Thanks for providing such necessary service, Fat Ninja, who incidentally has an amazing online name. I love that online name, Fat Ninja. Now, I would say that we only get reports from Iraq on casualties, but we don't hear about, you know, vehicles that have been damaged or destroyed, and those Humvees are pretty thin-skinned vehicles, as I understand it. So it stands to reason that for these casualties, I mean, every time there's a casualty by a bomb, you know the Humvees are getting trashed. They must be chewing up Humvees like going out of style, which is interesting because Humvees are damn expensive, man. They are damn expensive. And it doesn't seem like they've got a lot of armor on there. So, you know, for a vehicle that's as expensive as a Humvee is, don't you think it should be able to take a bigger hit than what it can? I'm just saying. Maybe the armor of the Humvee needs to be elevated just a little bit. But it does seem that we are at war. It is something to take a look at. I'd be worried if we were starting to get, you know, vehicle depots outside of major cities. That would be a concern to me. But it's up to the truckers of this great North American continent, I believe, to tell us when they see something going on. Because you know what? When they do start building the camps, who do you suppose is going to be the guy who's going to blow the whistle on that? Oh, sure, I'll be screaming at the top of my lungs, but you can bank it'll probably be a trucker who whispers that in my ear. What a scary thought. So, next piece of feedback. Dear Sean, so I found your show at a pivotal point in my life. It was a time when I took upon my own volition to move towards empowerment. I think your show, in a way, paralleled my own interest and research for morality and decency. I was starting to feel paranoid, but then I realized I was not alone. In this way, your show, I have received a sense of camaraderie. Thank you. You must work hard. You are a soldier. And like everyone working for a higher cause, you make a sacrifice. Our army is one of humanity tied together stronger. Solidarity breeds us a sense of family. And that was from Robert. Yes, it is true. It is true that I hope that the show does promote a sense of unity amongst what? The WOGs. We've all got to get in this together. We've got to stop seeing differences. We've got to stop, well, seriously, hacking on each other so damn much. It's important to make sure you know whether or not something's bullshit. It's important for you to make sure that you know who your friends are and who your friends are not. And you mustn't confuse people who are your friends or who are just, you know, acquaintances with your friends. Friends are funny things. I've been bladed before by people I thought were long, long time friends. But it's important to have a sense of belonging, as I've covered in yesterday's show. And if the show helps you with that, then, well, I'm just pleased as punch with that whole notion. Let's get into Sort Yourself Out. Dear Sean, not sure if this is a truly sort yourself out or not, but anyways, well, that's a good one. My father recently got his own computer and a snappy new broadband connection. Good for him. And he is unfortunately still afraid that if he hits the wrong key that the computer will self-destruct. Now, this is very common amongst old people, okay, because they're expensive and they don't like spending a lot of money on this weird little box they don't understand. I understand that he is having a lot more trouble than I would with figuring out the new tech because of the age gap and the fact that the most complicated piece of technology in the household was a shortwave radio when he was my age. So I want to help him get used to the net and help him understand how powerful a tool the internet is. He is very switched on when it comes to what's going on or wrong in the country. I know that it would be a great thing to get him involved in the online counterculture if I could just help him get past the tech barrier. I really don't know where to start since I think he has a hard time grasping how that little metal box sitting on his desk has changed the world so much. Do you have any suggestions about how I would help getting him wired? Absolutely! Now, wiring senior citizens is one of my favorite pastimes because senior citizens, people actually quite a lot older, who, now not to assume that, you know, your dad here is a senior citizen, but I'm going to assume he's a little bit older, and a lot of seniors are really scared with computers. So, the way you get them into computers is the same way that a lot of us got into computers, and that is video games. Now, we're getting somewhere, you see. Chances are, if he's, you know, a full-blooded male, he's got something he's into. A lot of these guys are really into flight simulators, World War II simulators, things like that. Flight sims are huge with the older crowd. So it might be up to snuff to find out what kind of a game he'd be into. If he's into hockey, he must be into sports. If he's not into sports, he could be into tech. If he's into tech, there's all sorts of tech games. You see what I mean? Go the game front. Give him something fun to do on the computer, and that way he spends more time on the computer and gradually begins to learn. Soon you've got to do a game patch, you've got to do a mod, you've got to network the computers together to do head-to-head. Maybe he joins massive media servers, maybe he goes into the IRC, connects with everyone in the IRC. I think games are the way to go. And if not, what's he into? If he's into, I don't know, even if he's into, like, insects or whatever, put him on a mailing list. Get him to insect rooms. Show him how BitTorrent works. Show him how he can download movies. Show him how he can download information that is freely available to him. Show him how he can increase his brain power and what he knows about what's going on. If he's all into conspiracy theory and all that, point him at the Alex Jones stuff. I mean, not to say that Alex Jones isn't right, but, I mean, it's great stuff. It's entertaining. Don't try to wire seniors right away, you know, with stuff that they're not going to be interested in. They're going to get in at their own pace. And so, as they do this, we can just be supportive. So all we got to do is figure out what they like and then point them in that direction because they don't even know how to find what they like online. It is up to us to embrace the senior citizens in our community because online, man, online, your age doesn't matter. And to be quite honest with you, I would be overjoyed to get some of those folks who've had a lifetime of experience involved with the counterculture. It could only make us stronger. Now, let's get into why the Wachowskis suck. Our lead story on the show today. Now, I got alerted to this by Ricky Rocket last week. And this is an old story here. I'm gonna read over here, and then I'm going to talk about it a little bit. Now, on Monday, October 4th of 2004... it ended a 6-year dispute involving Sophia Stewart and the Wachowski brothers. Joe Silver, and Warner Brothers. Stewart's allegations involved copyright infringements and racketeering were received and acknowledged by the Central District of California Judge Margaret Morrow residing. Stewart, a New Yorker who has resided in Salt Lake City for the past 5 years. Well, wait a minute. How can you be a New Yorker who lives in Salt Lake City? If you were born in New York, you live in Salt Lake City now, you're from New York. Well, come on, man. New York is not a country, dude. It's just a city. Anyway, lived in Salt Lake City for the past 5 years. Will recover damages from the films, The Matrix 1, 2, and 3, as well as The Terminator and its sequels. She will soon receive one of the biggest payoffs in the history of Hollywood, as the gross receipts of both films and their sequels total over $2.5 billion. Stewart filed her case in 1999 after viewing The Matrix, which she felt had been based on her manuscript, The Third Eye, copyrighted in 1981. In the mid-80s, Stewart submitted her manuscript to an ad placed by the Wachowski brothers requesting new sci-fi works. According to her court documentation, an FBI investigation discovered that more than 30 minutes had been edited from the original film in an attempt to avoid penalties from copyright infringement. Ouch. The investigation also stated that credible witnesses employed at Warner Brothers came forward claiming that the executives and lawyers had full knowledge that the work in question did not belong to the Wachowski brothers. The witnesses claimed to have seen Stewart's original work and had been often used during the preparation of the motion pictures. The defendants tried on several occasions to have Stewart's case dismissed without success. Now, it seems that the truth has been shown. The Wachowski brothers, who, when you watch the first Matrix film, the first film, of course, is brilliant. Okay, it's a brilliant movie. Loved the movie. Was great. The second films, the other two films, seems like they were kind of slapped in there. Like the film wasn't originally intended to be a trilogy. And they went, oh shit, money! Quick, make two more movies! So they did. They put them out, and now you've got The Matrix Online, where you can pay money every month just to take part in the game. Where you've got all the other things that are going on with The Matrix that is just a huge cash grab. The Wachowskis turned into a couple of selfish bastards, and now they're pumping it out there. They're just like Lucas, you know, make more money! Make more money! It's all about serving the great god cash! Now, I used to think the Wachowski brothers were really, really cool because of course, Matrix Connection. But now as I'm looking at this, it seems that these two serpents have been ripping everybody off, including you, me, and Sophia Stewart. Now, there's so many sacred concepts that are being destroyed in Hollywood right now. For example, if you saw the first three Star Wars films, you know, 4, 5, and 6, Return of the Jedi and all that good stuff, there was a time that many of you will never see. There was a time when the Jedi was considered to be something that was, you know, the pinnacle of geek culture. It was just, it was the coolest thing, you know, being a Jedi. But now, because they're changing the original movies, they're changing the concepts. They got that freaking pinhead playing Anakin. Guy can't act to save his life. They got Yoda turning into Pokemon, fighting Christopher Lee. Like, what the hell is going on with my genre? It's all turning into cash. That's why when they were making Star Wars figs, they would phone up the creature feature shop who built the robots, and they named one of the robots Forlom because it meant for love of money. It's really sad. It's really, really sad that the counterculture is being farmed this way, that the geek culture is being farmed this way. It could be argued that so. Star Trek farms its people. They have conventions and stuff like that. Yeah, but it's a little different there. There's a lot more love there. This is just cold bullshit cash, and it makes me just absolutely nuts. It makes me crazy that there's just so much deception and lies going on in Hollywood. Of course, Hollywood is one giant lie. You can always think of that. But I think it's really sick and kind of sad that now a film which I love, don't get me wrong, I'm a Matrix junkie. I love The Matrix, okay? But now that I see this, the whole thing's kind of been tainted, and it hurts you, you know, because you're into this, and then you realize the whole thing was based on a lie. Isn't that great? It's a horrible feeling, and I just have lost all respect for the Wachowski brothers, and I hate to say it, but this story has affected my views on the film, and it's like they've taken away something that I really enjoyed. It's absolutely sick and weird. It just makes me angry. It really does, considering I'm also a writer. And this is something that I've heard of before. I used to, you know, I was involved with screenwriting and stuff like that, and you'd talk to people, and you'd hear stories all the time. Guys submitting episodes to Star Trek, never hearing back. And then a couple of months later, they watched their episode on Star Trek. What do? You're going to file a lawsuit, lock horns with these guys in a five-year battle to get $50,000 that'll cost you money you don't have? Writers are broke. It's really sad how things have become developed. It's not about right or wrong. It's about money. And he who hath the greatest lawyers wins. It's a sick world, man. It's a sick world when that's the way things are. But I guess that's how it is. Maybe with the distribution of free media, that'll change. Maybe we'll put the art back in cinema by having free media. Because then people won't just pay money because of the advertising. People will actually download and watch quality. What a concept. I got a Star in a Jar update for you. An astonishingly simple demonstration of nuclear fusion in tabletop device has been performed involving a heating an ordinary crystal soaked in deuterium gas. Now, they've stopped mentioning the guy who originally did this experiment. Okay? And this article here is a little disturbing. I'll carry on. While the technique is unlikely to lead to power generation. Now, why would they put that there? Why would they put that in there? Because if you look at the rest of the... This whole article is kind of designed to say, oh no, it doesn't generate power. Such a device could act as a portable source of neutrons for analyzing materials and medical imaging, or perhaps even spacecraft propulsion. The key to the system is a crystal made of lithium tantalite. The crystal is asymmetric and is a result of heating the material, causing positive and negative charges to migrate opposite ends of the crystal, setting up an electrical field. The phenomenon known as the pyroelectric effect. Okay. So now the Star in a Jar, which a dude overseas was able to say, yeah, I've created a nuclear reaction on desktop, has now been dumbed down to a pyroelectric effect. Now, is this true or false? You know? Are we just going to say, oh, see, I knew that Star in the Jar was too good to be true. Oh, well, I guess we'll just carry on. Or wait, is this just a way to dumb everybody down? Now, maybe I'm being paranoid. But let's suppose for a moment that the Star in the Jar was the real deal. Let's suppose for the moment that the Star in the Jar, the guy over there who's put his entire life in jeopardy, his entire reputation, his work, everything that he is as a scientist in jeopardy, to come forward to say, I have created desktop fusion. Okay? You think he would have thought about that. You think he would have gone, you know, hey, wait a minute. Hold it. Before I jump out on a limb here and start screaming about fusion, you know, this could come back and bite me right in the ass. So you know he's going to think about that. And he wasn't a dumb guy because he invented this stuff. But now suddenly the rest of the world's like, no, it doesn't work, it doesn't work. Now it's pyroelectric electricity. Is anyone going to be doing this? Is anyone other experiments going to happen? Or is this going to slowly sift away into the cracks? This is why... What we need are backyard scientists. What we need is Crazy Ned down the street with his yard full of lab equipment. And he's, you know, out in the back hatch there trying to create a Star in a Jar. You know, is it going to take some dude in a trailer park making a backyard nuclear explosion to show that this fusion thing works? Maybe that's not so much of a price to pay if it gets us to the stars. I'm here to tell you. If I could shoot myself in the head right now, and guarantee that mankind would become a dedicated spacefaring race, man, I'd be racing to the gun locker, let me tell you. Now, here's another interesting story. Power Armor Rehab, a robotic arm that can be worn at home, is being developed to help stroke survivors regain the ability to reach and grasp objects and perform basic tasks such as feeding themselves. This is kind of interesting. The device, built by a research team led by a biomedical engineer, Jipping He, PhD, and his colleagues at Arizona State University and Kinetic Muscles Incorporated, a startup biotech company, can also assess the effectiveness of physical therapy so adjustments can be made to the regime if necessary. He will present a paper on the robotic arm at this summer at the 9th International Conference on Rehabilitation Robotics in Chicago. There's a conference on rehabilitation robotics? I didn't know about rehabilitation robotics, did you? Recent research suggests that stroke survivors can recover significant use of their arms by performing repetitive motor function exercises over a period of time. So they exercise, big deal. This labor-intensive physical therapy is expensive. However, claiming up to a 4% of the national health budget, according to the National Institutes of Health. Moreover, Health insurers may limit or deny coverage before stroke survivors achieve best results. This device is intended to provide low-cost therapy to a wider population for a longer period of time for a maximum recovery of motor function. He said the device, dubbed Rupert 1, for robotic upper extremity repetitive therapy. Rupert. Okay, well, you know that's cool. I'm all for getting all the crippled people up with exoskeleton armor. I mean, that's a good idea. Personally, I think it's a great idea to have more people in wheelchairs get robotic legs and arms. What the hell? As a matter of fact, if we can just kind of take that technology and stretch it out a little bit, why not get it for everybody? You know? Mind you, I think there's certain advantages to keeping the old body in shape. As everybody knows, I'm in the process of my current health kick. We're on day 8 of a health kick, which started as, you know, it would have been day 1 of a fast. But I've since changed my ideas on how I'm going to run that fast. Talk about that real quick. It's been my considered opinion that as I have been going through my little fast regime here, based on the William S. Burroughs fast, I've been, not William S. Burroughs. That would be a heroin fast. This would be Stanley Burroughs with his lemon fast. I've been making those shakes in the lemon fast as a meal supplement and then just augmenting that with psycho health food. I've probably been taking in less than 8 grams of fat a day for the last 8 days. Gotta say, I'm feeling good, feeling up, looking good. I'm hot now, man! Found myself in the mirror this morning rubbing margarine all over my chest. It was outstanding. And you know, there's nothing wrong with me. My dog won't look at me anymore, but hey, it's all fun here at the Kennedy household. Now, something else that is fun is we got some UAV law enforcement. You're wondering when the drones were going to find their ways into the cops' hands. So now we've got the machines flying overhead and watching us. But don't you worry. Your man Sean Kay here has got the solution for you. Check this out. Cyber Defense Systems has announced their cyber bug was successfully deployed on Sunday, April 17th, for the Charles County Sheriff's Office to monitor the 12th annual Southern Maryland Blessing of the Bikes, an event held at Charles County Fairgrounds in La Plata. The Cyberbug UAV was utilized as a surveillance vehicle to observe the crowds for unruly behavior, alert authorities about accidents, and note traffic problems in and out of the area. Cyber Defense Systems is a Mid-Atlantic reseller of Applied Techniques Corporation, coordinating the demonstration with the Sheriff's Office. Cyber Defense Systems. Is an operating subsidiary of Proxity, okay, whoever they are. Lieutenant Chris Becker, commander of the Homeland Security and Intelligence, Charles County Sheriff's Office. Wait a minute. Lieutenant Chris Becker, commander, Homeland Security and Intelligence, Charles County Sheriff's Office, said. That's a weird way that's been laid out there. I was quite impressed with how easy it is to launch the cyberbug and how well it monitored the area. He's quoted as saying, a tactical operations team member could readily carry it in a truck or his patrol car, and it is assembled in just minutes. You'll notice how this whole thing is starting to sound like an ad. Once airborne, the cyberbug immediately relayed surveillance information from onboard cameras to our field command center. Besides crowd and traffic control, I see law enforcement using the cyberbug in a multitude of applications, especially when it comes to crime fighting and homeland security. Allied agencies from surrounding counties and jurisdictions were also on hand to view the demonstration. So we've got the UAVs coming after us now. No problem. Now we're getting somewhere where the cops are really going to go with some of their budget, because we can start building interceptors to take out the UAVs. What am I talking about? Well, let's see now. If you've got a UAV and it's flying above your private residence, the way I see it is that's your airspace. You're getting spied on. So what if, you know, you got that UAV going around and all of a sudden, from out of nowhere, comes a WAG remote-controlled jet with interception capabilities and razor blades run along the wings. It does one screaming high-speed pass, cuts the UAV in half, it tumbles to the earth, falling harmlessly to the side, of course not hurting anyone, because we would never engage people over populated areas. But we're talking about drone dogfights here. We're talking about the cops using robots, or not really robots, but drones, to do surveillance. And with something like that, well, it's only a matter of time before people start making homemade UAV killers. Maybe that's something I should do in patrolling. What do you think? I think it's a good idea. Something that's kind of an interesting idea and a little scary idea is cellular programming. And we're not talking about the phones, we're talking about the little micro things. In a step towards making living cells function as if they were tiny computers, engineers at Princeton have programmed bacteria to communicate with each other and produce color-coded patterns. This is one of those mad scientist kind of things that just makes my sphincter tighten. The feat, accomplished in a biology lab with the Department of Electrical Engineering, represents an important proof of principle as an emerging field known as synthetic biology. Synthetic biology, androids, replicants, synthetic biology, which aims to harness living cells as workhorses that detect hazards, build structures, or repair tissues and organs within the body. We are really moving beyond the ability to program individual cells here and to program a large collection, millions or billions of cells, to do interesting things, said Ron Weiss, assistant professor of electrical engineering and molecular biology. Well, there's an interesting combo. Collaborating with research at California Institute of Technology, Weiss and graduate student Sabu Basu programmed E. coli bacteria to emit red or green fluorescent light in response to signal emitted from another set of E. coli. In one experiment, the cells glowed green when they sensed a higher concentration of the signal chemical and red when they sensed a lower concentration in a petri dish, and they formed a bullseye pattern, a green circle inside of a red one surrounding the sender cells. Now, that's just a little creepy. In addition to the demonstration is that the genetic programming techniques work, this sensing system could be useful for the detection of chemicals or organisms in laboratory tests. The bullseye could tell you whether the anthrax, this is where the anthrax is, said Weiss. Well, that's interesting. I mean, it could be used as a scientific device, but I'm a little worried about this as a weapon application. I'm also worried about if you can program things on a cellular level. Now, you start crossing this. Now, maybe I'm getting way out of hand here, and, you know, nothing new there. But if you could do that, could you do the same thing with skin cells to change color? Could you make people, you know, change their skin cell color? I mean, what can you do with this? It's pretty mad scientist, if you ask me. I mean, really, I guess we can use it. All technology is useful. But I'm just saying, it makes me a little bit nervous. And I'm, especially when they're working with things like E. coli. What if they do this with viruses and stuff? Now we've got glowing Ebola. You puke out blood, but don't worry, it glows like the Predator. So at least you look cool as you crash and bleed out. Let's not forget, this was funded from a grant from the U.S. Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, DARPA. Yeah, you know the Army's got its fingers in that, because that's all they do. They're looking for new ways to kill people we don't know. Now, I got some spyware updates. New York State Attorney General Elliot Spitzer. Everybody knows this guy. Well, he filed a lawsuit against an internet marketing company today saying Intermix Media Incorporated, the source of a secretly installed spyware, has illegally sent pop-up advertisements and other intrusions to millions of computer users. Mr. Spitzer said that the Los Angeles-based company failed to properly inform people, along with the downloads of free computer games and screensavers, visitors to the company's websites were installing software that delivered pop-up ads, redirect websites, and placed advertising toolbars on screens. Such practices violate state laws which prohibit false advertising and deceptive business methods. I would like to see a copy of these false advertising and deceptive business methods, because I don't know of any business methods that aren't deceptive, and I'm very, very, it's hard to find any advertising that's not false. Maybe these laws should just be done away with. You know, I mean, it's like ethics in business. Nobody really has them. President Kennedy's father said to his son, every successful businessman is a son of a bitch. And I'd have to agree. Most of the successful businessmen I know are, in fact, sons of bitches. Spyware and adware are more than just an annoyance, Mr. Spitzer said in a statement. These fraudulent programs, foul machines, undermine productivity, and in many cases frustrate consumers' efforts to remove them from their computers. Now, you know what? I don't like lawyers. I've never liked lawyers. I think they're scum. I really do. I think they play little word games, and they get away from intent. Now, it could be argued up and down the block. Well, lawyers are essential. We have to be able to pay blah, 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 blah. But, realistically, I mean, it's nice this guy's on our side, but he's still a lawyer, and the whole legal system is generally just pissing me off. What would you do in Sean's instead, Sean? Well, if it was me, I'd have probably a monk-styled law enforcement, to be honest with you, with sort of Judge Dredd-type powers, realistically. Yes, it's not the perfect model, And I think things would get real intense for the first 6 months, but after that, I think things would level out rather well, and our prison population would just be, how we say, decreased, especially with their ability to enforce capital punishment on scene. Mr. Spitzer also said the downloaded software was too hard for computer users to remove. Well, you know, it is kind of hard to remove, but you can get other, you know, programs to remove it. If you aren't running Spybot Search and Destroy on your computer, if you are not running Lavasoft's Adaware on your computer, you are infected right now. So you will pause the show, go online, download Lavasoft's Adaware Personal Edition. It's free. Download Spybot Search and Destroy. It is also free. And you will run them on the computer and be surprised to see that you are, in fact, infected with spyware. This is something that everybody needs. You don't only need antivirus. I like Norton myself. You don't only need antivirus. You need to have spyware protection online now. There's so much black ice floating around out there, man. So much black ice. It's sick and weird. I don't understand how it works. But I guess that's the environment in which the web is evolving. Now, getting into cyberpunk gear and the web evolution, let's talk about the evolution of personal accoutrements. We're talking about things like handbags, you know? And people say to me, you know, they say, John, I don't know if I agree with this idea you got about people carrying guns and stuff and, you know, swords and everybody being accountable and standing up for themselves, protecting themselves. It's kind of like getting Old West. Well, when you look at my cyberpunk kit link on the Purse Snatcher special, I will describe it to all you people out there, you know, who are driving or have downloaded this to your pod. What it is it looks like a purse, a little bag, but instead of a handle, it's got a series of clasps that go through the finger holes of some brass knuckles. So you actually hold the brass knuckles, and the brass knuckles work as a handle for your bag. In any case of an emergency, you simply pop the little clasps and swing the brass knuckles, or aluminum knuckles as the case may be, at your intended purse snatcher. Now, when my honey is walking around holding brass knuckles to go to and from the opera, it's at that stage of the game that you have to go, wait, this cyberpunk thing is getting pretty, pretty real. So, you know, you really can't deny that. All you got to do is look at some old stuff from the 80s and say, yeah, that's where we're going. Cyberpunk, man. That's where it's all happening. Look at Dark Conspiracy. Look at Cyberpunk. Look at Shadowrun. That's happening all around us. Sure, yeah, okay, the Great Ghost Dance hasn't happened yet. But it's coming. It's coming, I'm here to tell you. You know, the corporations are going to take over, and they will run it for a while. Let's be real. The corporations already have taken over. And it's going to be a little bit before we all stand up and go, nope, that's it. And if they can keep us in their pharma fascism-induced state where we're all little cogs in the machine, which they're not going to be able to because people are waking up now. That's why the show's on the air. That's why we're syndicated on a bunch of stations with more coming. Because we are winning this fight. This is a rebellion. And this is news from the rebellion. This is your rebellion. This is what you can do to stand up for this stuff. You can stand up against the core political tyranny by voting with your dollars, by deciding what you buy, deciding how you dress, deciding how you are going to get away from the norm to circumvent the standards which they are using to control us. But I digress. Let's, instead of getting all into some rhetoric here, let's fight for music. Here's a chance to help Holowak. Commons Music, officially launched online at commonsmusic.com last Thursday, was begun by several artists seeking to change the way the music and technology are treated in relation to file sharing, allowing an open licensing platform for digital music. Now, this is something that everyone listening should get involved with. Taking a cue from Electronic Frontier Foundation paper released in February 2004, Commons Music is looking to sign up artists, these guys are looking for artists and supporters who wish to be involved with Voluntary Collective Licensing, or VCL. Very, very cool concept here. VCL is described by one of the founders of the organization, John Holowak. Now, John, of course, was the guy who I played some of his tracks on the show, and he works with Triad. John Holowak works on three principles. First, people pay a flat fee per month to download all the music they want legally online from anywhere they want. So you pay a one-time monthly fee, you get everything. A popular quoted figure is a flat fee of $5 per month per user. Now, that's pretty slick for the price of a cup of coffee. Secondly, popularity of downloads is tracked by Nielsen-like system. as well as independent tracking services such as Big Champagne. Money from the flat monthly fees is divvied up fairly to artists based on that popularity. Sounds good to me. Quoting the EFF paper, Holowak said, starting with just the 60 million Americans who've been using file sharing software, $5 a month would net over $3 billion of pure profit annually to the music industry. No CDs to ship, no online retailers to cut a deal with, no payola to radio conglomerates, no percentage to Kazaa or anyone else. It's money that just keeps on coming during good times and bad, so long as fans want digital music online. A collective licensing regime for file sharing can promise $3 billion in annual profits. Can't mess with that, man. With the recent Supreme Court case of MGM versus Grokster, said Holowak, it has become apparent that even if the music industry wins, it will only license people who like downloading online from P2P programs, pushing them into developing further products that will ultimately never be stopped through litigious means. Yes, absolutely. It looks like Holowak knows what the hell is going on. He's got it figured out. He knows that no matter what they do, we will simply step around it because, well, this is our life. This is just business to you, but this is where we live. You are in our backyard, baby. The internet belongs to the people, not to the corporations. Commons Music is claiming a recent influx of support following its launch and hopes to continue its trend as VCL becomes a legitimate form of distribution and innovation. Holowak, I'm interested. What can I do to help you? Best part about that, quipped Holowak, is that these are music fans fighting for the industry to let them pay for something rather than the other way around. Commons Music expects to release another prospectus of future development from the organization within a month or so. They can be reached at their website at commonsmusic.com. Now, Holowak's a very, very cool guy. Okay, in the land of music and all that sort of jazz, he's one of those people that you would quote-unquote get it. Okay, he gets it. Okay, and he's heavily involved with Triad and Vavrick and that crew over there. So please go check that out. And I think it's that could be the future right there, because you know we do have to buy music. Okay, you do have to spend some money here. I hate to tell you kids that all you out there running around stealing stuff. You know, for those of us out there who've got a job and who can't afford it, okay, I think there's nothing really wrong with playing a flat fee of $5 a month, tacking onto your, you know, your internet connection cost or whatever, and you jack in and you just, you know, you get it all for free. That'll get, you know, well, it's not really for free. You're paying $5 a month, but it may as well be. Pretty soon you forget it. I mean, hell, you probably lost $5 in change every month. Here's another story. Big Brother and HP. Now, this is something that is happening in Europe, but a consortium headed by Hewlett-Packard is to develop Europe's Big Brother system for the European Commission, along with Styria, Moomert and Journey, and PrimeSphere in Luxembourg. HP, Hewlett-Packard, is to produce a high-quality technology model for the second generation of the Sturgeon Information Systems, SIS, and the Visa Information System, VIS. Europe's Justice and Home Affairs Committee envisages these two systems replacing the Border Control System, SIS-1, with far more pervasive one of surveillance controls and information exchange. So this is essentially, from what I understand here, sort of the European version of the Matrix. Interesting. Although HP announced the signing of the contract today, the European Commission tells us the deal was actually struck late last year. Isn't that interesting? We have no idea whether the latest version signifies some change in the contract or merely that HP Belgium communicates with HP Global via messages in bottles or carrier pigeons or whatever the hell. You know, like, so why did they lie to the press? HP's announcement doesn't mention Big Brother, but does follow a mention of the Schlingelpuss. It mentions a bunch of Snagglepusses, and the Snagglepuss Treaty aims to allow free movement of persons in Europe. With SIS-2, we'll provide information on wanted persons, as well as stolen vehicles, ID documents, and banknotes through a database accessed by national police authorities in all participating member states. Once it is fully functional in 2007, that's pretty quick, SIS-2 will be much more flexible than the current systems and will also be able to store photographic images and fingerprints. Good, 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 good. In addition, the infrastructure of the new system will make it easier to adapt to the future EU requirements. Now, have you noticed something with these law enforcement techniques? I love this. that they'll go and they'll say, oh, yeah, it's only for your protection. And they'll say, this man, you know, you got all the teleprompters on all the screens. You go, woot, woot, woot. And you got the, you know, the guy's face there. This man is wanted. Well, what's he wanted for? Crimes. For his own protection, we can't tell you what he's wanted for, but we have to find him. Now, that is where things start getting scary. When they stop telling people what they're on trial for, what they're being arrested for, and everyone's like, oh, my God, he's the enemy. Just by running his picture somewhere, he's the enemy. Well, it only is used to stop criminals, Sean. Yeah, but you got to understand, these guys can just wave their hand, lie, and suddenly you're a criminal. See how that works? See how that can be done? It's a little bit scary how much power the state is getting here. And I'm not really too sure how much I like that. I mean, in Europe, they've pretty much got all their freedoms gone anyway. I mean, where the hell are you going to run in Europe? The whole place is saturated with people. You can't get away from anything in Europe. But hey, you know, that's what they got going on over there. Luckily, you know, we've killed the Matrix. They're trying to do Matrix 2 over here. But this is why we in North America need to fight hard. Now, a place you can run away and get into the wilderness, a place I'd love to go one day, is Borneo. And it's one of those places which, of course, like every other place where they got wild wilderness left, it's being chopped down and burned down and all the rest of it for the great grow of the corporations and, you know, the industrialization of the planet. These are people who believe that, every square inch of the earth should be owned, which I think is just the most bizarre and sick concept, not to mention impossible. Now, this is a great story, though, because some trees got left in peace. So Borneo, in the Borneo village of Setulang, was offered $300,000. Now, this is a poor village, okay? So imagine this. You ever see those, you know, National Geographic? You got people living in, like, bamboo huts and straw huts and everything. It's all, like, you know, a couple people wearing T-shirts and that. They're kind of this weird mixture between modern day and ancient tradition. So these guys walked in there and offered the villagers $300,000 by loggers who wanted to hack down their trees. The villagers considered the offer. Then in a rare stand against illegal felling that has laid waste to Indonesia's jungles, they refused it. It wasn't an easy choice for the 200 people of Setulang, who live nestled under a canopy of immense, valuable, and sometimes extremely rare trees. Now, these people in Indonesia, bear in mind also, Indonesia has been shit-kicked in the last little while. Everything bad has been happening in Indonesia. So in comes these corporations, goes, geez, you guys are really hurting. You know, if you let us, you know, cut some of these trees down, we'll give you money. $300,000 goes a long way in Indonesia, baby. You may as well add two more zeros to that if you were living in North America. Many among the village's ethnic Kenya Uma long farmers would have gladly taken the money to improve their basic quality of life. But the residents of Setulang are dependent on the forest for their existence. In our community, opinions were divided between those who wanted to make a deal with the loggers and the others, says Ramses Awan, a member of the village's council. But some of us have worked in Malaysia, where the trees have been cut. They told us of the difficulties in finding resources. We have thought about our children, and we have said no. Now, that's awesome. But what I am worried about is, what if the logging corporations decide, okay, well, we tried it the good way, we're just going to do it the other way. We're just going to go ahead and cut the trees down. If any of these guys get in the way, well, we'll have our private security forces kill the villagers. But now, Sean, you're just being paranoid. Am I? Why don't you do some research? That's standard practice for a lot of these companies. They don't care. It's corporate war, man. They're here for money. Who cares if they geek some villagers? They're not white, and the rest of the world won't give a shit. So just wipe them out. Put a plague in there. Use some bioweapons. Whatever. Take them out. It's worked before, hasn't it? Mind you, I'm waiting for the day when, we start getting the quote-unquote eco-terrorists turn into, or actually eco-resistance, where you've got, you know, a lot of these natives and stuff like that who go, you know what, they're destroying our home, we're not going to let that happen. And then you wind up with bloodshed. Not so good. Now, I got a piece of Rapture gear here. This isn't really Cyberpunk kit, but it's super cool. It's a PKE meter for all you Ghostbuster fans. It's $179 and recognized for its unique, for its unity and paranormal and parapsychological research. This device detects changes in extremely weak static or natural electric and magnetic fields. A compact 9-volt battery operates the handheld unit. The meter is simple to use. Just turn the knob to a selectric magnetic sum, electro, radio, microwave handy to determine relative intensities of cell telephone fields, or battery test to check this position leading out to the field to ensure the battery has enough juice for your planned foray. Now, this is an interesting device because, hey, you know what? Let's talk about the supernatural for just a second. My views on the supernatural are as follows. It either exists or it doesn't, okay? There's people out there who've seen ghosts. They've seen supernatural stuff. And these people will swear up and down on a stack of Bibles that there's something going on. Now, either everyone, tomes, hundreds of thousands, probably even billions of people who've seen ghosts and who are involved with, you know, ghost hunting and all that sort of stuff. Either all these people are wrong and everybody is lying, or there's something to it. Now, I think that that is very, very exciting, because if it can be proven that there's something to the ghost thing, doesn't that lend itself to thinking that there's something after the end? And that also, this is the part that really scares the shit out of the core politicals and why no one really gives the supernatural much, you know, basis. But wouldn't that also imply good and evil? And that's scary. When you start thinking about good and evil, that implies judgment. Now we're in the shit. Looking at judgment, man. Nobody wants to be judged. And then we're worried, oh, is it going to be right? Is it going to be wrong? So this is why the supernatural is a very interesting thing to me. Personally, I don't think it's like that. I think that if you get a reading and you pick up something that's an outworld entity, as I call them, not ghosts or demons, or outworld entities, if you pick up something like that, you can't make a lot of suppositions. You got to go with your hard data. But this is a very cool piece of kick for very inexpensive. I'd like to get one of these for, you know, any of me and Sims forays. Be handy to put that data on the screen. Today's daily hack is the Chaos Uber tool. Chaos is a Linux distribution developed by the Australian Ladder. Harnesses the unused processing power of network PCs, creating a distributed supercomputer that can crack passwords at lightning speed. Wow, this is cool. The program remotely boots Linux on a PC without touching the hard drive, leaving the slave PC's operating systems and data secured untouched. 30 PCs connected in a cluster create enough processing power to complete complex mathematical equations or high-level security tasks like password cracking that no individual PC could handle alone. That's very cool. How to make a distributed supercomputer? Hot. That's all done through Chaos. And for you Penguin Nazis out there, I got another thing called Shadow, which is, in short, a collection of Perl scripts for the Linux crowd to monitor packets headers using TCP dump. Very, very cool stuff for you in the Daily Hack. And that's all I got for you today, but don't worry, I'll be back tomorrow to make sure you get all the information you need to stay alive. This is a free broadcast brought to you by the generous donations of those willing to fight in a time of crisis. Those people fueling the rebellion are Forley, Dave, The Grey Ghost, Dressy, Drake, Philip, Robert, Michael, Melican, Anamas, Derek, Jesse, Desert Runner, Eric, Steve, Matt, Brandon, Keith, who's, and then, you know, this is what happens when you lose your place somewhere on the pay. Peter, Keith, Timor, Malcolm, Peter, Rosalie, Evan, Triad, Matt, Austin, David, Brian, Jonathan, Host Mojo, Adam, Mark, Trevor, Brandon, Philip, Jonathan, Michael, Daniel, Art, Diarmu, Justin, Charles, Matthew, Lars, Eric, and Alan. New subscribers for the month of April were Druid Weissamaru, Tara, Dark Nature, Brandon, Jason, Rat, Richard, Matt, Jesse, Joseph, Andrew, End User, and Christopher. And you know what? That wasn't the month of April. That was the month of March. March. They were the people from the month of March. I haven't got the new list from Sim yet. Sim, I need the new list, buddy! And if you would like to help keep this daily news broadcast on the air and get your name read on the air, please visit rantmedia.ca and click on the Donate tab, because every little bit helps, believe me, in this war. And don't you feel bad, because we are winning this and we are going to come out on top. Special thanks to some hard netrunners, the Armies of the Flying Monkey, which we got some cool graphics sent to us for, Mythos, Foulware, Nyx, Wyandi, Sai, Zaruth, Madar, Duel, Dead Code, Mookie, Visage, K-Tog, Ion Top, Lizard, Pig Monkey, Pixel Fiend, Malcab, Omega, Tribu, Muttley, Forleet, No Delete, and special thanks to Mostly Harmus for saving my ass from zombie stories, which I've wrote a run for yet another false story, so thanks again for saving me there. Digital baptisms today. Adam is now known as Striker, and that's a Striker with a 1 instead of an I and a 3 instead of an R. Upcoming events, let's not forget about Phoenix Fest. Very, very cool. Something you might want to check out. And thanks again for everyone and their assistance in gathering data. If you have access to sensitive information or any other pertinent stories, please email them to Newsreel. That's N-E-W-S-R-E-A-L at rantradio.com. And if you like the music in the background, be sure to pick up the album Icon of Coil, Machines Are Us. The band is Icon of Coil. The album title is Machines Are Us. And I'm going to leave you now with a classic track from Orbital. It's an industrial mix of the song Satan. So until tomorrow, that's what Server said. End of line.
Yes, son?
What does regret mean?
Well, son, a funny thing about regret is that it's better to regret something you have done than to regret something you haven't done. And by the way, if you see your mom this weekend, would you be sure and tell her...
Satan!
Satan!
Satan!